Heavenly Father, thank you once again as we enter into worship together. Praise the Lord. And the words of these Psalms that we shall read, the Bible says the entrance of your words brings light and gives understanding. Even so, let it be. But more abundantly, Lord, let the praises of the Lord redound from our mouths unto the Lord's ears and his heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read the words, a few words from a few Psalms. The first one is, of course, Psalm 65. And this is where this title comes from, Psalm 65 and verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Praise the Lord. So, let's think about that for a minute. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in my life. Not just in Zion, but in my life. And what does that mean? Let's reflect on that for a minute. It means, well, this man, when he wrote it, in his heart, is always ready to give praise to the Lord. And again, you know, this is something we can present to the Lord over situations that we face. Lord, praise is waiting for you concerning this matter in my life. Praise the Lord. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. You know, sometimes, many times, you know, we make a vow before the Lord. And, you know, let's make sure that when we make a vow, we keep it. Because, you know, some people say, Lord, if you do this thing for me, I will do that. And when the Lord does the thing for them, well, sometimes they forget to do that which they promise. And that's not a good thing. It's scripture says it is better for you to not vow than to vow and not keep it. You know, so when we make a vow unto the Lord, it is good for us to keep that vow. You know, now let me read Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. So, that means that those who don't pay their vows to God, God consider them as fools. You know, and a person like that is no better than what Psalm 53 says. You know, Psalm 53 says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You know, same thing as Psalm 14. These verses, Psalm 14 verse 1, says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, and if we make a vow and we don't pay, then we're no better than the person that thinks that there is no God. Psalm 53 verse 1 also says the same thing. So according to the words of this Ecclesiastes chapter 5, when we make a vow, and in a way, praise waiteth for thee, O God, is also a vow. I mean, it's something that we are saying, Lord, I am going to praise thee. You know, and so if you say you're going to praise the Lord, then don't let circumstances steal the praise of the Lord. He said, better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. You know, the Lord might be angry against you, and the angel of the Lord might come there like that, angry. Don't say, well, you know, it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice? Destroy the work of thy hands. You know, so when we vow, let us pay the vow. Back to Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Yeah? And unto thee shall the vow be performed. Praise God. And then verse 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. Hallelujah. That he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Praise the Lord. So today it's about us giving praise and glory and testimony to the Lord. And let's think about the goodness of God in our lives. Just think about it. From the moment we wake up in the morning till the end of the day, and then again it repeats. I mean, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, the Lord has been good to us. And we are still here. And it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And every moment of the day, the Lord is delivering us from something. We may know it, and we may not know it, but he is delivering us from something. He has given his angels, we are told, a charge over us to keep us in all our ways, lest some evil should befall us. The Lord himself says that we are the apple of his eye, and he promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you're going through or passing through the fire or passing through the flood or rivers, it will not overwhelm you, and the fire will not kindle upon you. I mean, so many precious promises, you know, and we have to just take time out occasionally to be intentional in praising the Lord. I love the way the psalmist said it. I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalm 34. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Why? Because I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Hallelujah. They looked unto him and were enlightened. Their faces also were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I resemble that remark. I have cried unto the Lord many times, and the Lord has been good. What about you? He says, the angel of the Lord also encamps round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Well, keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Did not the Lord even say that in Isaiah 66 and verse 2? This is the man to whom I will look. He that is of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Hallelujah. You know, so scripture says we have seen and heard rather of the afflictions of Job, but we have seen the end of the Lord in the matter. He went through a lot, but at the end, the Lord delivered him out of them all and blessed him with twice as much as all that he had before. The Lord keepeth the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Now, evil, on the other hand, shall slay the wicked. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You know, the Lord, you know, has put in us the desire to worship him. That's how we were created. It is the veil of the flesh that will cause us to not walk in that desire and fulfill that desire all the time. Jesus said, you know, our Father in heaven is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. For the Lord God seeketh such to worship him. Praise the Lord. Jesus said this in John chapter 4. He said in verse 22, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There are many times that the Lord said, these people worship me with vain lips, but their hearts are far away from me. You know, and the Lord sees those things and said, in vain do they worship me, yet their hearts are far from me. Well, I pray, you know, that that's not our case in how we worship the Lord. We must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. There are some situations in which Jesus said the worship was vain. Some of them were even because people substituted, religious leaders substituted their human traditions over God's commands. And Jesus called them out. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, he called them out. He said, look, I mean, because they were always constantly going after Jesus' disciples and, you know, about one thing or the other, and even Jesus himself. You know, they would say things like, well, you know, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? As if the tradition of the elders was the most important thing. You know, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And Jesus said, well, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by these same your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, well, you know, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, whereby you might be profited by me, and honoreth not his father and mother, shall be free. Jesus is saying, look, the word of God says, honor your father and mother. But you say, well, a child can say to the mother or the father, well, I don't have to do anything. If I do it, it's just a gift to you. And they may not even honor their parents. And Jesus said, well, you, by your traditions, dishonor God. And you do not keep the commandments. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say of you that these people draw near unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, so worshiping the Lord in truth and spirit is a subject that we must consider. Because Jesus said the Father is seeking such, you know, people that will worship him like that. So is God actually looking for something? I mean, God is almighty. He doesn't need anything. You know, Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1 says, you know, I am the Lord. I'm the one that made all things. I mean, I don't need anything. I mean, I've made all these things. What are you going to build me? What are you going to get for me? But there's one thing that he wants though. Praise the Lord. And are we going to give it to him? Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. And, you know, so, you know, God made all these things. But, this is the thing that interests him. This is the man to whom I will look. Even he that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. And that means when we hear the word of the Lord, it makes an impact in our lives. When we hear the word of the Lord and it makes no impact in our lives, then that means we do not tremble at his word. We have to hold the word of God in the highest regard possible. If God says a thing, you find it in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit reminds you, or you hear it in a, you know, sermon or teaching or lesson or whatever, and you check it out or be so, well, you know, then we need to engage that word in his spirit. Today's word for us is praise and worship for the Lord in the spirit and in truth. We must desire and pursue this, that our lives will be a life of worship. Now, let me talk about worship for a minute. Sometimes when we go to congregational services and we're trying to praise the Lord together, we have this concept, but it's a misguided concept, that, oh, worship is for us to sing those songs that are kind of slow songs. We call them worship songs. And then the songs that have a high and fast beat or rhythm, we call them praise songs. So by our tradition, we think, by definition, our own definition in our minds, that worship is when we sing these slow songs. That's worship. They say, okay, we're going to sing some worship songs. So the praise team will sing the songs that are kind of slow and so forth. Say, okay, we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to sing some high tempo songs. So they sing some high tempo songs. Everybody jump up and down. And then because of that, we think that worship is just, you know, just sing these quiet, slow songs. Well, that may be a part of worship, but that's not worship. Because worship is a way of life, a new and living way which the Father is seeking. You know, that's who we are, worshipers of God in spirit. Our entire life cannot be divided into, you know, my secular life and then my religious life. Religious, when I'm in church, and praise team is leading, and I'm getting into it or not. You know, sometimes people don't even get into it, even in those times. And then, and I leave the church from Monday through Saturday or whatever, I do my thing. I live like the rest of the world and come back, praise the Lord some more on Sundays, and say, okay, we're going to the house of worship. And we all say that. You know, I even catch myself saying that at times. But house of worship, that's even a misnomer. Jesus called it the house of prayer. Said, my house shall be the house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he took the whip and overturned their tables and kicked them out of there. He did not call it house of worship. He called it a house of prayer. You know, because, you know, people are intended to come there and pray. House of worship is your spirit. That's where you worship God. Bible says you must worship him in spirit. You know, so we don't go to a place to worship God. Let's get rid of that thought. We say that all the time. House of worship. Today we're going to the house of worship to meet with other believers. And so in our heart, see that, you know, subconsciously in your mind, you think that that's the place of worship because that's what we call it. But that's not what the Bible calls it. That's not what Jesus said. You know, so the place of worship is in spirit. That's what he said. They that worship God must worship him in spirit, not in the church. He didn't say worship him in the church. You know, he said worship him in spirit. So that means wherever you are, at whatever time, worship the Lord. It's a way of life. You know, if you are in the spirit, then you are a worshiper. If you are born of the spirit. You know, unless, you know, you're not in the spirit. You know, unless you are not born of the spirit of God. You know, since our Father is spirit, and we who are born of him are spirit, and we who are joined with unto him are spirit. I mean, we've covered these lessons, these topics in the previous, in the series that we've been doing. Even 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, tells us, you know, in verse 16, he said, well, he that is joined unto the Lord, you know, is one spirit. So, are we joined unto the Lord? You know, that's verse 17, rather. If you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit. And Jesus also said that our Father is spirit. And he said that, you know, you cannot be a part of him unless you are born of the spirit. So in the spirit realm, we've been talking about life in the spirit. Life in the spirit is also the life of worship. That's right. That's, you know, part of this, lesson that I want to bring today. Life in the spirit is also life, it's a life of worship. We don't worship the Lord only on designated days of worship. You know, it's Sunday, I'm going to the house of worship. No, we worship the Lord all the time. In fact, this lesson might be called Life in the Spirit is Life of Worship. I might even change the title to that. Because this is what the Father is looking for us to be worshipers. Hallelujah. Now, what does worship look like? There are many forms of worship, you know, but the kind of worship that God's looking for is the one that comes from deep in you, within your spirit. That's what he said. Worship him in spirit and in truth, not just from our lips, not just to sing songs of worship. That's part of it, but it's way beyond that. It's we live in worship. We are spirit beings, and our spirit is connected to the Lord, and we live in worship. And what exactly, you know, is worship? I mean, when we think of worship, what do we think about? You know, there are many indications in the scripture what worship might mean, but even a dictionary meaning of worship, if you look it up, it'll tell you, you know, one definition says, you know, it's a way of reverence and adoration towards God. The secular dictionary will say deity or so, but we say towards God. Now, you know, we can have some people also say worship. A part of worship or part of your day can be when you have your devotions. It could be part of, I mean, the singing, the prayer, and the, you know, all those things could be part of your worship, but it's not the only thing. I like this one that says it's a lifestyle. It's living in a way. This is a definition from the dictionary. It's living in a way that reflects, you know, constant communion and devotion. Well, I edited that a bit, you know, which is referred to as true worship. Living, conducting our lives in a way that is true worship. Jesus demonstrated this by saying that he was connected to the Father in such a way that the Father was always with him. And in his own words, he said, because I do always those things that are pleasing unto him. Well, that's how Revelation 4:11 describes worship. He said, well, for your pleasure, all things are and were created. And Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 8 and verse 29. He said, well, the one that sent me has not abandoned me. He's always with me. We're always together. Why? Well, because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. So let's talk about worship as a way of doing those things or ways that are pleasing in his sight. Now think of it in the terms of what Revelation 4:11 says. It said, for his pleasure, all things were created. Pleasure means to, you know, something that pleases him. You know, something that he delights in. Yeah. So, okay. If all things were created for his pleasure, and then and Jesus said, well, I do always those things that are pleasing. So Jesus was always in his pleasure. Well, we conclude, therefore, that true worship, if we define it as a lifestyle, means then that we seek to do always those things that are pleasing in his sight, always to be in his pleasure, always to give him delight. You may be kneeling down to do it, but not necessarily. I mean, are you going to kneel down all day long? Are you going to lie on your face all day long? Some people say that, you know, the only way to worship God you must lie down on your face. Well, that's one part of worship. You must bow down your knees. Well, that's one part of worship. You must kneel down. That's one part of worship. You must raise your hand. Yeah. Whatever. But can you do all those things all day long, every day, every moment of the day? It's not practically possible. Yet, you can be in the spirit to worship God all day long. Once our spirit is connected, if you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit. In that spirit, we are conscious of His presence. And, you know, we are conscious of doing those things that please Him. That's true worship. That's even the realm in which we can do and ask anything and He does it. According to 1 John, you know, chapter 3 and verse 22, it talks about doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. He talks about two things, actually, or two ways that we serve God. He said, well, we know that we ask, whatever we ask of Him, we receive of Him. 1 John 3:22. Why? Because we keep His commandments, as one. And two, we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And I call this active obedience and passive obedience. When we are keeping His commandments, well, that's active obedience. He has said it and we are doing it. Passive obedience, on the other hand, is whether He has said it or not, or we know that He has said it or we don't know, but we know it pleases Him. Then we do it. Just because we know it pleases Him and we do it. It's not because we are keeping some law in our head or some commandment. No, it's just it pleases my Father. I want a life that pleases my Father. You know how, same like children want to their father to say, I'm proud of you. You know, I mean, there's some children that's all they are waiting for all their life. It's just to hear those words from maybe an absentee father, you know, and so on. You know, they just want to hear it. Well, Jesus heard those words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Praise the Lord. That's a life of worship. You know, we don't see that Jesus was always on His face or Jesus was always on His knees. We know that He spent quite a bit of time in prayer. But it wasn't that He was always on His face. It was that He was always connected with the Father. That's right. And He was connected in such a way that He with His own mouth said, look, I can do nothing of myself. Now, that's true worship. I can do nothing. I only seek to do the will of Him that sent me. Now, that's true worship. You talk about, you know, some of these statements, you know, that, you know, Jesus made. He said, look, I came not to do my own will, or to preach my own doctrine. He said, but, you know, my Father's that sent me, you know, that's how He came. And this is what was uppermost in her. My meat, He said, John 4 and 34, is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Listen to this in John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven, right? Not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. I mean, this was His lifestyle. He even said it is His food. In John 4 and 34, he said, look, at the time, you know, these disciples thought He was hungry. So they went to town to go get some food. By the time they came back, He didn't look like He was hungry anymore. In fact, He didn't even want any more of the food, you know. And they said, oh, what happened? I thought we all went to town together. Which among you brought Him food while we were not here? He said, nobody. We all went together. Said, why is He no longer hungry then? And Jesus said, well, I have food that you guys know nothing about. He said, my food, my meat is to do the will of Him And doing the will of somebody is to please that person. And to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Not just do it halfway. Finish it. Glory to God. And that's the true way of worship. So let's call this short lesson, you know, life in the spirit is a life of true worship. Let's call it that. Now, it also means there's praise with worship as well. Because one of the things that the Lord, I mean, you'd have to think that one of the things that made the Lord to say that David was a man after his own heart was the way that David was always worshiping and praising the Lord. I mean, he wrote so many things, you know, about the beauties of holiness and the glory of the Lord and his, you know, grandeur and all the things. And he would always just praise the Lord. He praised the Lord at all times, he said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Continually, he said. And there were many times he would even talk about singing a new song. He would look at the stars. He would talk about them. He would look at even the works of God's hands. He would talk about them. You know, he would consider his ways. He would praise the Lord. He would talk about the word of the Lord. Say, even in thy word will I bless the Lord. I mean, it will go this way, it will praise the Lord. It will go that way, it will praise the Lord. He said even multiple times a day, 7 times, you know, I'll take time out to praise the Lord. I mean, it was just constantly in that dimension. And no wonder he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And no wonder the Lord said this was a man after his own heart. You know, so a life of worship. And there will be many things that Jesus would say about that. He was also always teaching his disciples to approach the Father in that way. They say, you know, one time say, Lord, teach us to pray. I mean, the disciples of John were taught by John, that's John the Baptist, how to pray. He taught them. Also, why don't you teach us how to pray? You know, say, okay, well, when you pray, pray after this manner. I'm going to give you a template. Not exactly just repeating those words, but after this manner. First thing is, our Father in heaven. So he wanted that connection. That's where the life of worship starts. The connection. Are you connected? Are you joined to the Lord as one spirit? You know, Jesus even said in John 10 and 30, he said, I and my Father are one. Upon which they took up stones to kill him. Because they couldn't understand how can that be? You being a man, how can you make yourself God? You know, but Jesus was joined to the Father as one spirit. Now, if we are joined to the Holy Spirit as one spirit, then our heart's desire should be just like Christ's desire was to please the Father. I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, that's it. He would never do anything otherwise. And he was always, you know, always focused on that. Listen to this also in John chapter 7, you know, and verse 18 or so, or verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not my own, but his that sent me. Now, if any man will do his will, he will know of the doctrine, whether it's of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh the glory of him that sent him, well, the same is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So Jesus defines, the heart of a true servant here. He said, somebody that is sent on an errand is a servant of the person that sent them. Okay, so Jesus says, well, my father, and remember the Bible calls him the righteous servant, my righteous servant. So my father has sent me. Well, it's also like an ambassador. Jesus was the perfect ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. He said, well, if I here to seek my own glory, he called that actually unrighteousness. But he said, real righteousness is the person that is sent is seeking only the glory of the person that sent them. And then there's no unrighteousness in them. So Jesus was consumed with always doing the will of the Father at all times. Well, we conclude, therefore, that must be true worship. connected to the Lord like that. Not in the flesh. We can't worship God in the flesh. Jesus said that. Worshiping means spirit. I often refer to this statement of Jesus, and it went very well with this series that we were doing. John 6 and 63 said, the flesh profits nothing. So it is the spirit that quickens, and the words that I speak are spirit and life. So, being physically present in a place which we call place of worship doesn't necessarily gain you anything if you are not connected in the spirit. Jesus said that's dead. It is the spirit, when you are in the spirit, that's where life is. So that's why we call it life in the spirit, this series. Living in the spirit. Life in the spirit is also a life of worship. And worship is intentional. I mean, that's our entire life. Beyond just the 30 minutes in a gathering, a congregation. Today being Sunday, many people gather together in different places. And we may sing for 30 minutes or so, and then we hear the word and some other things. And then we consider that those 30 minutes were the time of worship. For the whole week? That's the time we're going to worship the Lord? Well, okay. Yeah, that in our head, right there is a problem. We are to be in worship all day long. You may be singing or not singing, but you are living and walking in the spirit and connected to the Father and seeking to do his will, because that's what God is seeking. So if we are looking to do the things that please him, we exist at his pleasure then. That's what the Bible says. We were created, all things were created for his pleasure. And everything exists for his pleasure. Even the evil created for the day of judgment. That's it. Everything is for his pleasure. Behold, the Lord says, I form the light and create darkness. Even good and evil. When he brings good upon a nation, say at what time any nation will turn their hearts to the Lord, and I'll bring the good upon that nation. And at what instant any nation will turn their heart against the Lord? The Lord said, I'll bring judgment against that nation too. who can stay the hand of the Lord? But when we understand, the law of the spirit of life, Paul said, has made me free inside our hearts. We're not worshiping God out of fear. That's not worship. But true worship is we worship him out of love, out of devotion and a commitment to him. We make an allegiance to him in our hearts. We connected to him like that. And we don't back down in the face of everything that may be going on. And, you know, people stop worshiping the Lord because of a crisis that they are facing. It may be a crisis. It may be a singular moment, momentary crisis, or it could be a prolonged crisis. Crisis can be, okay, they've lost their jobs. A family member is in distress or sick or this or that. Situations, you know, that just are contrary to wellness in our lives. Well, people allow that to separate them from a life of worship. Then your situation has gotten the better of you. Nothing that exists around us should be able to distract us from a life of worship. Jesus said, even concerning the day, he said, even the day was created for man and not the other way around. So whatever is happening in this day must not distract me from my life of worship. A true believer is one whose life is all around a life of worship. That's what Jesus said. And we cannot separate our moments of worship from other moments in our lives. So right now, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to the house of worship. And after we finish from the so-called house of worship, then we go back out and live like the rest of the world for the next 6 days and then come back again the following week to the house of worship. Well, if that is what we think of worship, then we have not known the Lord. And it'll be like the Lord said, well, ye know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Huh? In that case, we know neither the scriptures nor the heart of God. Because the heart of God is to meet you always in that place of worship, which is all the time, not just moments that we carve out. Worship is even a higher form of anything that we may think of. Even prayer falls short of a life of worship. It's part of it, because prayer is really talking to God, and when you're worshiping God, you know. But there are times when we must do contending prayer and we really get in there and so forth. But all of that is part of a life of worship. A life of worship is every day, every moment. And we are connected to Him like that. Now, the psalmist often spoke about, you know, these praising the Lord and praising God for all the things that God did. Psalm 145, for instance, talks about even the works of His hands. I know how beautiful everything. And that's an area that we can, you know, even devote ourselves, you know, just think about all the things that God has done. How gracious He is to His people, even to all His creation. How He opens His hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. And all these things can bring us, you know, closer in adoration. Adoration is a part of worship. And adoration is something also that gets us more like Christ. Listen to this revelation that John puts out in 1 John chapter 3. And we've read it many times, or alluded to it many times throughout this series. You know, he said that, beloved, now are we the sons of God, 1 John 3 and 2, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear. See, in other words, when you see Him, how do you see Him? Well, when He is revealed to you, then we shall be like Him, because you will see Him as He is. Well, if seeing Him as He is what makes us to be like Him, then that means we're seeing some attributes of Him. It is what we adore, that we see in Him and adore in Him, that we can really become of Him. That's really what that scripture means. So, you know, worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth must then be something that is uppermost in our hearts. You know, Jesus oftentimes characterized it in different ways. In one place, he called it seeking after the things of God, Matthew 6 and 33. You know, he said, look, don't let your heart be the majority of the latter part of Matthew 6 he was talking about. Don't, you know, just be in pursuit of all these things that others, you know, unbelievers, you know, the unbelievers, that's what they are in pursuit of. You know, what they can wear, what they can eat, what they can do this and do that and so on. So, but you be in pursuit of the things of God, seeking his righteousness, seeking to know him. Lord, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. Show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. Moses prayed. Paul prayed the same thing, you know, let me know you even more. You know, the things that I think I already know, I count them but dung, and I want to know him some more. And so on and so forth. The pursuit of the knowledge of the holy and the pursuit of the knowledge of the holy God, you know, that's worship. Because we want to know him. We want to be like him. It was his intent from the beginning that we will be like him. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That means like God, God-like or God-kind. Was how we were supposed to be from the beginning. And that's how we're supposed to function. And so getting back into the glory, we talked about that in this series, is also getting back into a life of worship, a life of praising the Lord. We cannot let the matters of everyday life, you know, detract us from a life of worship. No. You must be remain connected to the Father in the spirit. In that connection, you know, that one-on-one place with him, that's where, I mean, we're fully devoted and fully concentrated on him. That's when his character begins to flow through us. He's in a way, I mean, you know, when you're connected with him like that, you can function more like him. And that's what he wants. He wants us to function like him. He wants us to be like him. And, you know, God wanted to reproduce, you might call it that, reproduce himself in man. Make man to be like us and let man carry on the image of God and let him bring forth, you know, other seed in the image of God and so on and so forth. Yeah. So we have a whole race of people that are called God kind. You know, that's how they should have been. The fall put brakes on that. And Jesus also came, you know, to bring us back to that. He came in the form of this same sinful flesh to show that it can be done. And we too can seek to hear that commendation that Jesus received of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus fulfilled Revelation 4:11. All things were created for him and so forth, for his pleasure. Well, he said, well, you know, I must please the Father. And the Father said, yes, I am well pleased. Not just pleased, but well pleased. Well, can the Father say of you, this is my beloved son, daughter. Son actually is just offspring, not necessarily gender. You know, so, can he say of you, my beloved son, Or my beloved daughter, can he say that? In whom I am well pleased. Well pleased. I mean, he loves us already. We are, you know, we are beloved already. But is he well pleased? That's the thing. You know, is he well pleased? Do the things that we do, or do our lives bring pleasure to him? Or let's make it singular. Does my life, does your life bring him pleasure? Yeah, that's a life of worship, a life in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, let us refine our thinking about worship. You know, let's refine it from just moments when we go to what should really be called the house of prayer rather than the house of worship, but that's what Jesus called it. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Now, so let's refine it. It's more than just those moments. It's also more than just the type of music we sing, whether it's slow, which we call worship songs, whether it's fast tempo, which we call praise songs. It's more than all of that. All of that can factor into our worship, but it's our way and manner of life. Praise God. You know, and that is the way and manner in which we must worship God. You know, it's our very way of life. You know, that is what true worship is. Here is the testimony that Paul gave in Acts chapter 24. Now, this Paul, oftentimes, he was before one person, one time before Agrippa, one time before Felix, one time before this, one time before that, you know, and he would give testimony. Now, this is what Jesus told him. He said, Jesus said, I've called you to be testimony to the Gentiles. And so he always had opportunity, and he sought for opportunity to always, you know, give, you know, testimony, you know, and so forth. So in this place, you know, standing before, you know, the governor, said, well, you know, let me tell you some things. And he began to give his testimony. And then, but he said here in verse 14 of Acts 24, he said, but this I confess unto you, that after the way, see, he called it a way, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my father. So you see, it's a way of life. Paul is describing worship here as a way of life. You know, I worship God in a way that some people call heresy, but it's my way of life. And what do I do in my life? I believe all those things. So believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves allow, that there is a resurrection of the dead. You know, and herein do I exercise myself to have always, not just, you know, a few minutes of the day, always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And this is worship. He called it, you know, a way of life. Praise God. You know, worshiping, you know, God in spirit and in truth. Well, let's talk about truth. You know, we talk about being connected to the Lord in the spirit. That's how we must want. Let me give you another scripture for that one. We can't really worship God in the flesh, because Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. We got to do it in the spirit. And here's another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 16. And this is just before verse 17, which we read all the time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature and all that. But listen to the verse that precedes that. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. We can't do these things after the flesh. Yea, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more after the flesh. So we're not, you know, you can't serve God in the flesh. They that are in the flesh, Romans chapter 8 tells us, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And the flesh, the man that walks in the flesh, we are told, you know, cannot obey the things of God. Neither indeed can be, because the flesh is the carnal mind. You know, it's just against and contrary to the spirit. We dealt with that in the first 40 years or so of this series. So, we must elevate from the flesh. Worshipping God is not just singing few songs in the flesh or doing a few things in the flesh. No. But all the things that we do, even the various things that we do in life that's, you know, worthy of praise, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, all those things we do, they constitute part of the life of worship, like prayer, you know, it's a good thing. Almsgiving, it's a good thing. Jesus talked about all these things in Matthew chapter 6, fasting. So when you give alms, when you fast, when you pray, when you do this, all these things are part of our life. The entire life, though, is what is called, you know, worship. So life in the spirit is a life of worship. It's a lifestyle, actually, of worship. It's not just once a while, a few minutes on Sunday. No, it's a lifetime of worship. Now, that being said, and going back to where we started, that praise, I could say praise or worship, waited for thee, O God, in my life. If we consider, you know, our lives to be something that ought to bring God pleasure, praise is also something that brings him pleasure. You know, we are told that even the Lord so much enjoys the praises of his people that the scripture says it this way in Psalm 22, verse 3. And that Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm, people call it. It said, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. What does inhabit mean? Well, he dwells, he abides, he's enthroned in the praises of his people. You know, that's where the Lord really, if you want to call it, moves. You probably really moves him. Yeah, the praises of his people. In Zephaniah chapter 3, we read that the Lord himself, you know, loves, you know, to hear, you know, the praises of his people when it is done right. You know, if the life that we live does not glorify God, then just praising him with our lips is not something that interests him. He calls it in vain. Do these people praise him with their lips, but because their heart is far from? But if we do it right, here is the effect that it will say, or have, you know. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Zephaniah 3 and 17. You know, he will rejoice over thee with joy. Rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I mean, even a life of worship that pleases the Lord, it brings singing even into the Lord. I mean, our singing and our rejoicing, our praising the Lord, if done right, it's a beautiful thing. In fact, we've seen places in scripture where corporate praise, so I'm not discounting that at all. Corporate praise and corporate worship brings down physically the glory of God. We've seen it in the scriptures, you know. One time that you know, when they were about to dedicate the temple, Solomon's temple, that is, and they were praising the Lord like that and just getting together, you know, the glory of the Lord came down in such a magnitude. It was so thick, we're told, that even they couldn't stand to minister. Let's read that in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. He said, and it came to pass from verse 13, as the trumpeters and singers was as one. Now again, they had to strike one chord to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. So there is a tremendous power when it is done right. When they were doing it right, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. When they got in the unity of praise like that, wow. You know, he said, then the house was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. So that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of God. That's what came in that cloud. The glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So when the praise is done right, it's part of worship. You know, the people were praising the Lord, you know, and they did it in unity, in unison. They were all with one accord, you know, with one voice and one sound. They were praising the Lord, praising the beauty of holiness. Tremendous things happened. So we know that that can happen, so we don't discount that. But however, in our individual lives, let us consider this, that we walk in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit and we live a life of praise, a life that gives pleasure to the Lord, that's true worship. So that's worshiping God in spirit and in truth. In truth also means, you know, Jesus talked about it in John 17. He said, thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, you know, that's how we worship the Lord. In the word of the Lord. You find the word of the Lord, you repeat it back to him. You know, and that's how, you know, we worship the Lord. You know, using his words, repeating his word back to him. And this, you know, the Lord gave us a good example in David. He knew how to do that, you know. He would at times say, well, I would praise the Lord in his word, will I praise him? And he would use the word of the Lord to praise the Lord like that. Praise Lord. You will read that in Psalm 56 and verse 10. In God will I praise his word. I mean, so he's using his, even the word of the Lord, you know, in the Lord will I praise his word, to praise the Lord, repeating his words, a powerful, powerful place. He talked about those that dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, and abide under the shadow, I mean, of the Lord and so forth. You know, well, the secret place, if you can know how to find it, there's a place where no fowl knoweth. They don't know it, they can't get in there. No demonic spirit can get in that place. It's a place of worship in our hearts. It's right there. Nobody can get in there. Nothing can get in there. Connected to him like that, repeating his word right there. Because the Lord will be glorified in his word. And in his word will I praise the Lord. In thy word, O Lord, will I praise thee. Well, using his word like that to praise the Lord, it brings the glories of God around us. I will praise God in His Word. Let me read to you a portion of that Psalm 56. Praise the Lord. I want to read a portion of Psalm 56. In the Lord, we'll praise His Word. So using the Word of the Lord is a good way also of committing ourselves to a life of praise. He says, what time I am afraid, and Psalm 56 verse 3, I will trust in Thee. In God, I will praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear, you know, what anybody will do unto me. You know, then you jump to verse 10 and it repeats the same thing. In God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man, you know, can do unto me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, that is our lesson today. And consider this as a, really a part of the life in the spirit, because it's the life in the spirit is actually a life of true worship. True worship. You know, that's what it is. When we are able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, then we please the Lord. Remember, worshiping the Lord in the lips only does not please the Lord. In fact, Jesus talked about that. He called it vain. Yeah? It's a vain, this is vain worship. These people just worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, so, you know, we need to commit ourselves into a life of worship from the beginning of the day. Let's be conscious of it. Until the going down of the sun, all day long, worshiping the Lord. It doesn't mean that you are confined into a space, but you are in the spirit. And in the spirit, we are worshiping the Lord. That's what Jesus said. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. May the Lord explain and reveal to us what this life of true worship means. Let's start by practicing it on a daily basis. You know, but thinking of it more like a constant experience or flow rather than, you know, something that we just experience sporadically. Think of it as a constant abiding in that connection, in that adoration, and so forth of the Lord. That's the true place of worship. Life in the spirit. It's a life of true worship. I just changed the title of the room to that because I think that's exactly really what it is. You know, and the Lord will help us, you know, to fulfill His pleasure. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You can't really do anything. Even to praise the Lord in the right spirit, even to worship the Lord for our lives to become a life of praise and worship like that throughout every day, every moment of our lives. We really can't do it on our own, but the Holy Spirit will help you. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will help you. He will testify of me. He will speak of things concerning me in your life. It will help you. Holy Spirit will help us, bring us into a life of true worship with the Lord. But that does not mean that we should discount songs of worship and songs of praise. Beautiful songs. In fact, the scripture tells us in singing spiritual songs and psalms and hymns and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Those are all good. And we should use them too as a part of our connection with the Lord and with the Spirit of God. And just don't make it as though that's the only way that we worship the Lord is when we sing those songs. No, it's a part of our life, our complete life, total life in the Lord. You know, cannot separate any part of our lives, can't divide it up. So complete, our complete life. It's a life of worship. It's a life of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is also a good part of worship. Be ye thankful. The scripture gives us many admonitions about that. Even in putting our request to the Lord, he said, do it with thanksgiving. Philippians 4 and 6. When even everything said, give thanks in all these things. This is the will of God. Thanksgiving is a part of that. And at a heart of true thanksgiving, knowing what the Father has done for us and acknowledging him as such and praising him, you know, the things that he has done in everything. He said, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. 1 Corinthians 5:17-18. Pray without ceasing. Quench not the spirit. Well, that's the other thing also. You know, always be in the spirit. Don't walk away from the spirit realm, you know, and all that. You know, always be in the spirit. If you are in the spirit, Paul said, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to turn my attention now to the words of a song that I put in our WhatsApp platform. But I actually just want to read through it. You know, rather than us singing it together, but I want to just read through it and read us, you know, some song. I mean, you know, just listen. I love you, Lord. Your mercy never fails me. All my days, you know, I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. You know, that's one way also of worship. All my life, you have been faithful. Now, that's thanksgiving. You know, all my life, you have been so, so good. And with every breath that I'm able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. I love even your voice, he said. You know, remember yesterday or the other day, we were talking about, you know, the voice of the Lord and so forth. My sheep know my voice and all that. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. And in the darkest night, you're closer like no other. I've known you as a father. Jesus often taught his disciples, you know that. He said, connect to him as your father. He would say, your father in heaven knows that you have need of these things. Pray and say, your father. You know, my heavenly father, our heavenly father, you know, reach out to him as your father. Now, people didn't know how to do that. They saw God as some, you know, terrible God somewhere that we can't even hear his voice. And just like they told Moses, we can't hear it. But Jesus said, no, come to him. He's your father. Think of him as your father and come to him like that and worship him all my life. You have been so good with every breath that I'm able. Now that's every breath. Praise the Lord. I will sing the goodness of the Lord. Well, this particular psalmist, this songwriter, they were focused on singing, but I'm focused on worship. You know, so all my life I will worship with every breath that I am able. You know, with my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. You know, and so on. Your goodness, said the running. Your goodness and everything. Your goodness is running after me. Goodness of the Lord. Did not the psalmist say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? You know, everywhere you go, goodness is on. You look over your right shoulder, goodness is there. You look over your left shoulder, mercy is there. I mean, they're following you all the days of your life because you are also pleasing the Father. Exactly what Jesus said in John 8:29. Because I do those things that are pleasing to him always, therefore, he's always with me. You know, my life, all of my life, and every breath that I have, I'm going to sing the goodness of the Lord, and I'm going to worship the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. I love you, Lord, for everything in my life. I'm going to pray over the room, and I'll yield it to us for our reactions about the life of worship. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for you have called us into a life of worship. He said the Father is seeking such, those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Grant us, O Lord, the knowledge, you know, of the holy and the knowledge of the holy God as we worship you. Moses said, show me your way, Lord, that I may know you. Paul said, Lord, show me your way that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. Show us, Lord, thy way that we may know you and the things that please the Father. Help us to do always those things that are pleasing unto you. Take our life, O Lord, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And to be a true worshiper, a life in the spirit that pleases the Lord, that we may hear that same commendation. Well done, how good and faithful servant. At the end, but even daily, we want to hear, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. We want our Father, our Heavenly Father, to be pleased in us and to be proud of us. He said, I will be their Father, their God, and they will be my sons. We're proud to call them. In fact, Jesus said, the scripture said concerning Jesus, you know, he's proud to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying in Isaiah 8:18, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and for wonders. He's not ashamed. Took upon him same flesh like we have. And it's not ashamed to call us brethren. God is proud. Call us his sons. And may we make the Lord proud. Glory to God. May the Lord find in us that pleasure that he is seeking. Let our life be such that brings him pleasure. Thank you, Father. Every day will I bless thee. All day long will I live in the spirit and a life of worship. Enable me, Lord, by thy spirit, to do even the same. I give you, Lord, the praise and glory. And help us, Lord, to transcend the flesh. Because the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.